Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Garrett Vincent from Willits High School,
Marina Acosta from Willits High School,
Viviana Cardona from Willits High School,
Emily Davis from Laneville High School.
And today our topic is the Peer Summit, to be held this month at Willits High School for the 8th grade students from Bechtel Grove Middle School, which is the middle school in Willits. For the past 10 years, there has been an event called Sister to Sister for girls about to enter high school. Youth Speaks Out was hosted by participants in 2012 and 2013. This year, the event has been expanded to include young men.
The Peer Summit will be a day-long event promoting self-esteem, healthy decision-making, and empowerment for incoming freshmen. It will be facilitated by trained high school mentors who will provide positive suggestions and awareness about high school experience. Using group activities and small discussion groups, we will cover topics such as self-esteem, body image, peer relationships, substance abuse, bullying, and healthy coping skills. Since the beginning of the school year, the high school mentors have attended monthly meetings in which they develop facilitation techniques, build knowledge on their topics, and lesson plan the events of the day. Some of the high school participants decided to become a mentor after their affirming experience with the summit as an 8th grader. This year's summit will be held on May 21st on the Willits High School campus.
The transition from middle school to high school is often exciting, profound, and confusing. In many cultures and religions, this passage is celebrated with a ritual or initiation, like confirmation, bar mitzvah, or a vision quest. This is the time when the child becomes a young adult. The Peer Summit creates an opportunity for 8th graders to establish friends at the high school who will be there the next year as advisors and mentors. The American Association of University Women came up with the program in the 1990s to help prepare young women moving from middle schools to high schools. They named it Sister to Sister. Research had shown that high school girls could help inform and empower 8th grade girls before they entered high school. A program was created in which each girl learns about her own individual personality as well as developing skills for interacting and interpreting the people and the world around her. The goal is to help girls make healthy life choices for their minds and bodies and develop leadership skills. By the end of the program, girls often have a new vision of what is possible for themselves.
In the past, a number of people have expressed the idea that the young men entering high school could benefit from a similar program. The summit will begin with an orientation, with everyone then split into areas for boys and girls. The girls' activities will be mentored by female peer counselors, and the boys will be mentored by male peer counselors. There is an abundance of rumors in the 8th grade about life in high school. There are stories about parties, dating, and being respected as a young adult. In our small community, most students will move with the same peers to high school. After spending a year being the leaders of the middle school, the shift to being lowly freshmen is usually a shock. The students are on the lowest rung in a new school, surrounded by older people they don't know, and being pressured to do things they're often unprepared to deal with.
Teenage girls are flooded with images of how they are supposed to look. This frequently leads to eating disorders and poor diets. There is a powerful urge to mature as quickly as possible, which can result in early sexual experimentation and a rush to be in a relationship. Girls often experience sexual harassment but do not have the language or skills to stop it. Teenage boys are expected to be tough, to man up, and to not express emotions unless they are macho. There is an urge to prove fearlessness and daring, which can lead to injury or other problems. The use of alcohol and other drugs is frequently taken as a sign of being grown up, and freshmen at high school are frequently bullied. Bullying, either by exclusion or public humiliation, is common among teenagers, male and female. And in this youth culture, which emphasizes texting and social media, cyberbullying has become common and very damaging to more than a few young people.
Eighth graders hear many rumors about life in high school. there are tales about relationships, sexual activity, and drug use. It is possible to get the impression that most high school students are in relationships, are sexually active, and use alcohol and other substances. Some 8th graders are excited by these stories, and some are frightened. Many expect that sex and drugs will be the norm, even though research shows that this is a false impression, as we covered in a prior program on social norms. The middle school years are challenging and emotional, filled with drama and changing friends. Many teenagers feel the need to talk to someone, but are too scared of being judged or treated differently if they confide in teachers or peers. At the peer summit, they can talk and share their stories with other youth without the fears of being criticized or being made fun of. At the beginning of the school in the fall, there is a reunion held so that the new freshmen can touch base with the high school friends they made at the summit. This provides a connection to an older friend, which most freshmen are grateful to have.
So we will talk about the Peer Summit program for about 30 minutes, then we will open the phone lines for your ideas, experiences, and insights. We are in the Willett studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. Let's begin by discussing our plans for the Peer Summit. Let's talk about our experiences when we were in 8th grade. So, my experience is probably a little different than the 8th graders that are going to be freshmen this year, because I did not go to the public school. I did not go to Bechtel. I went to the charter school in Willits, and so, but I did know people that did go to the high school, and I had friends and my brother and sisters, they all went to the high school, so I did hear the rumors about parties and peer pressure and how if you're weird, they'll stick you in a trash can and just stuff like that that I've kind of learned now isn't really true. And they all seemed adult to me because I was younger, so... But yeah, now that I'm their age, it's a little different. So, Marina?
When I was in middle school, I went to a school out of state, so it was also different. I also went to a school which went from 6th grade through 12th grade. Although different hallways and classes, I still got to basically visualize and see what happened. But it was still what I thought it was. So it was a little bit, like... I didn't really understand any of it, so I thought party every weekend, everyone is getting smashed, people's lives are going downhill, grades are dropping, and everyone's going to be addicted to drugs. Although not all of that is true now that I'm actually in high school. So yeah.
My 8th grade experience in high school was very much like you guys have said, but although you guys didn't go to school here in Willits, I did as an 8th grader. So going into high school wasn't as frightening because I knew the campus, I had relatives, and I did believe the stories that everybody was hearing, but for me, it was a lot different because I had many relatives that told me different sides, and it wasn't as frightening as I thought it would be. Friends, and especially family. Teachers that are there to encourage your grades, and it's pretty much just an easy way out for me. It was really motivational to go to school there because it's actually kind of fun.
So when I was in 8th grade, I really looked up to all of the high schoolers. I knew a lot of them, and they kind of knew who I was. My dad's a cop, so everyone knows me. But and then once I actually got into high school, I started to not look up to them as much, just because I saw all the things that they were doing and didn't really approve of a lot of things and choices that they made. So I just kind of branched myself away from that, but... It was definitely an interesting experience going from middle school to high school.
So, talking about the summit, I personally did not have anything like this in eighth grade. I went to freshman orientation, which I guess was kind of like this, but not as in-depth as this one is going to be. And so this one is going to go into a lot of topics that wouldn't be covered in a normal freshman orientation. And so that's why we're doing it. And it's going to be really great this time because it's including both males and females. And so no one is really excluded. And it's just going to be really good for the new freshmen. Anything to add?
So since I was in eighth grade, I went to the Sister to Sister Summit. And it was really helpful for me in high school. Pretty much what we did was they showed us around the campus, and then we just talked about our teachers and what the teachers' expectations were as you as a student. And then we split up into groups. There's the three different types of categories this year, which is alcohol and other drugs, the body image, and the peer relationships. And so we all got to see which kind of group we were in, so we split up into different groups, and we switched off after about every half hour or so, and we just talked about what can be prevented and how it's been affecting more and more peers around the community and all over the state or even the United States. And it was really empowering for me because I didn't know as much as what they told me. And the activities that they were doing was really helpful to know what was happening and how the rumors that everybody was hearing wasn't all so true. And it was really helpful. And especially knowing that I had girls like me that didn't know much about high school and were coming in scared. The seniors and juniors that were doing the summit actually came closer to me, and I knew some of them, but I also got to know more people. And throughout high school, I still talked to them, and they were still a great help till now.
So at Laneville, we don't really have any type of workshops like that, besides, like, Challenge Day, which we have every 2 years, but that's only for high schoolers. So, like, do you think that that type of workshop should be needed, like, in every school?
We do Challenge Day as well, and I think that's really helpful, but, yeah, I think it does need to branch out and start younger, like, not just eighth grade. Like, we need to, because there's a big transition from sixth grade to eighth grade. Like, that's huge. Like, all the things that change from that period of time and all the knowledge that can be taught in those years are so, like, there just needs to be more programs that help people understand a life, I guess. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, I mean, like, sixth grade through eighth grade is, like, those awkward years where you don't really know who you are yet, and you're trying to discover yourself and trying to figure out who your real friends are, so.
Yeah, exactly.
There should definitely be more preparation for going into high school and along with from sixth grade to seventh grade. Because since that is a school change and you're going into middle school, I know that's where a lot of drama happens and basically, like, almost puberty in a way, people change. So there should definitely be more preparation and kind of like the summit.
So what is Peer Summit actively doing right now?
We've had a couple meetings to talk about our strategy and how we're going to do this and who's in what groups and just how we have an outline for the day and what we're going to do. And so basically we're going to start with an orientation and talk to them, tell them about teachers and where their classes are and stuff that you do on a normal orientation. And then we're going to split up into groups for each category. I'm personally in alcohol and other drugs. Raina, what are you in?
I am also in alcohol and other drugs.
I'm alcohol and other drugs.
Okay, so I guess we're all alcohol and other drugs. But there are peer relationships and body image, which I think we're calling confidence. Yeah, I think we switched it to confidence. I don't really know why that changed, but so, and then we're gonna split the boys and the girls up, and then, like I said before, we're gonna take the male peer counselors. They're gonna go with the boys, female with the girls, and then we're gonna just talk about our group. So we'd all be talking about alcohol and other drugs in high school and at parties and what's it about, and maybe get rid of some of the
worries.
Yeah, that upcoming freshmen might have, and just questions, and we'll probably have a couple activities to get them talking and stuff. And
yeah, so getting back to the challenge day and sister to sister, how would you like compare both of them? Like, challenge day is, well, how would you describe it? I haven't gone to a challenge day yet. It's next year, so.
Yeah, challenge day, it's kind of like, I don't know, we don't call it challenge day. We call it breaking down the walls, I'm pretty sure. And so it's kind of, you go there, and it gets pretty emotional sometimes. Like, it's, everyone's talking about stories and their life, and everything's supposed to be confidential, but, you know, it's high school, so it doesn't really happen too much. But, and so we just talk about our life stories and things that have happened to us in the past that can be devastating, or things that can be pretty good, and it can get really emotional sometimes, and I think it's a really good for that we have it. I'm not sure if we're doing it this year. Usually it's a senior project, which is kind of weird. I think it should be a mandatory thing each year.
Yeah, for sure.
And how would you compare challenge day to sister or peer summit?
Actually, I think they'd be really similar, but I don't know. I don't think we're going that deep. Like, I think we're just letting them know about our experiences, letting them ask questions, and then I think that's pretty much it. What do you guys think?
I would feel that challenge day is more of a life type of letting everybody know that everybody's different and everybody has their own life stories. And more to sister is about prevention and letting them know what in high school is to come.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. About you, anything there?
Well, challenge day sounds like something to basically let people know, like, you're not alone in a situation. So then basically you can have help, like, with situations. You can talk to them about it. And with a sister to sister, it's for basically like a mentor, like helping you through high school. I don't know what else to say about.
Although what is different in Peer Summit is that before we end the Peer Summit day, there is a fishbowl of male and female. So what that is the guys go into a circle with all the incoming freshmen and peer counselors in the middle, and the female asks the males who are outside of the circle high school questions, whether it be party, sexual activity, other relationships, their experiences. And then it would be vice versa, where the males of incoming would ask high school questions about female side of views.
Yeah, and that's going to be really interesting. I've personally never done a fishbowl, and I'm looking forward to it. It sounds pretty interesting. I want to hear what they come up for the questions.
So do the mentors for the Peer Summit program actively, you know, go up to the kids that they're mentoring and, you know, talk to them and see how everything's going with them and answer their questions and such?
more in the beginning of the school year. Right now, it's not really much because freshmen in this generation are kind of acting like they'd be juniors already, so most of them would know their way around the school already just from other people or something. So I don't really think that most of them need the help as much as they did before.
Yeah, it kind of seems like the freshmen this year are pretty comfortable with everything that's going on. Like, and plus we're going through a lot of changes right now, so we're all kind of in a weird state of not really knowing what's to come. And I think the freshmen are doing really good to adapting to the situation at hand.
Yeah, and it's not just the freshmen that are adapting. It's the sophomores, the juniors. Really, it's a lot of adapting.
Yeah, we're all adapting to this new thing. And, yeah, there's not too much to be said about that because we're all kind of in the dark. But, yeah, I think the freshmen are doing really good this year. I've done one-on-ones with people who, like, my teacher will be like, hey, this person came to school and he just doesn't seem too happy today and he's not doing his work. And so she'll be like, can you go talk to him? Take him around a lap for a field and I'll go talk to him. And usually it's all okay. But every once in a while you find someone that really needs your help and someone to talk to. And I think that's why we have peer counseling at the high school, is to help out with those situations.
So at your old school, Marina,
mm-hmm.
Did you have a type of like mentor system or anything like that?
No, we didn't. I really wish that we would have. That would have been really cool. Since I moved there during the seventh grade, I ended up leaving right before freshman year. I wish I would have had a mentor because moving around, going to new schools is honestly scary. Like, being the new person, it's a lot of pressure. You have to figure out, like, how to get around the school, where your classes are, who the teachers are. So it was just all really fast. And honestly, I got lost a couple times, especially going into freshman year. But mentoring would have definitely helped. I would have probably had it a lot easier, like, than running around the hallways. Not literally, but, like, trying to find my way to classes. Mentoring is honestly a really good idea. That's why I love the idea of sister to sister, brother to brother.
Emily, so I asked you before the show, but are you guys doing anything mentoring-wise to bring in eighth grade or just mentoring in general at the high school there?
Besides freshman orientation, there really isn't anything for upcoming freshmen to get, you know, used to the school or just like kind of like the high school ways of life, to say. And as far as mentoring, we have peer counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a part of that. I don't know too much about it, but I know that that has helped a lot of middle school and I think it goes to like fifth grade, eighth grade. And that's helped a lot of younger students through like difficult times, just to know that there's someone closer to their age that they can talk to and that understands their situation and is just there.
Yeah. Did you struggle your beginning year?
Not so much, because I'm a freshman right now, so like the first couple months were kind of awkward because you're just like brand new at the school. It's a really small school, so like you know everybody already. But still, it's like you feel so pressured to like fit in, and you want to do whatever you can to fit in, and like you just want to be the norm, like be normal. And yeah, it was kind of hard.
Yeah, I could see how that would be extremely hard.
I feel like everyone wants to fit in. High school, middle school, all the way down to elementary, basically. Fitting in is a very big thing to do. Otherwise, like, you're basically alone if you don't fit in.
But how would you describe fitting in?
Yeah, that's definitely a hard one because I'm a junior now, and my definition of fitting in is a lot different than it was of when I was a freshman. When I was a freshman, I was scared that if I was myself, that no one would talk to me and I'd have no friends. But eventually I learned that just being myself and being the weird person that I am kind of made a lot more friends. And so it really goes with the, it's better to be yourself because everyone else is already taken. Yeah. So it just works.
So your definition of fitting in matured over the years that you've been in high school?
Yeah, a lot of things have matured since freshman year. The way I think and just everything about how I even wake up every morning is way different than when I was a freshman, and like my mind stayed on life. And actually, a lot of it changed with peer counseling at the high school. We do this retreat called Emmendal. I don't know if you guys have a retreat for your peer counseling class, but it's a 3-day thing. Yeah, and this year we had it with the Ukiah High as well, and it's a retreat up in the by the Eel River, and it's a nice commune place, and it's really nice, and we just talk about just almost everything, really, like, and we help out with the farm and make ice cream and do activities and get to know each other on like a deeper level, and so it's really emotional and really interesting.
Oh yeah.
And it was rough coming back to the high school after all that, just because you realize that you're not there anymore and that everything's still the same, like all the people you met. It's like everything just gets, it resets. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just, it's really interesting. What did you guys think?
The Emmendal trip was actually really, really inspiring for me. And, it was really, it made me put a real big aspect in life. And a different point of view to what actual life at the high school is. And it was different up there because we all just stuck together and everybody was so friendly. It was really cool.
Yeah, what do you think, Marina?
Well, Emmendal, basically, you can be open and honest without people judging you, basically. So along with what you were saying, Garrett, about being emotional, there was definitely a lot of that. But there was also a lot of happy times because there were so many people helping out. And people that, like, related to your situation, there were open arms, basically, for everything. And along with the homemade ice cream and all the delicious food, coming back was definitely hard because at the high school, a lot of people are judgmental, and you can't really come out with everything that you say at Emmendal at the high school because nobody's really there with open arms. And
except for the peer counselors. We're always open-armed.
Basically, yeah, it did break down my personal illusions because the real world is pretty harsh. And Emmendal, it was kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like a dream in a way. I don't know if that kind of, yeah, it's kind of cool, but it was a place where everyone was, like, open and honest, and, yeah, it was just really nice.
Yeah,
and reality sucks.
It was a very, very surreal place, and we tried to bring back the Emmendal spirit back to the high school, and we had these things called Warm and Fuzzies, ooh, and they were these little yarn wristbands that when you look at them, you think, oh, okay, that doesn't mean anything. But what you do is you find someone that you appreciate and you wrap it around their wrist. You can make it all pretty or you can just give them one and you say what you appreciate them for and how, if they've helped you at all during your struggles and life and high school, and if maybe they just complimented you once and they made you feel good and you appreciate them for noticing, just little things like that. So we tried to bring that with us, but it kind of got lost somewhere, I guess. But hey, next year it'll come back.
Yeah, I love the warm and fuzzies. Like they were kind of corny, of course, from other people's point of view, but to all of us who got one and or gave one, they meant something super special, and most of them got really deep. Like, you'd be surprised on how much you can make a person's day by saying, oh, like, I like your shirt, or you helped me out, or something. So, I really love the warm and fuzzies. They were a great activity to do.
Yeah.
So, talking about the high school and different, like, peer relationships and stuff, do you see any bullying at Willits High School?
I wouldn't say that there's no bullying, because, you know, I can't say that for everyone. I can't speak for everyone, but me personally, I haven't seen too much. We have a problem with cyberbullying. That's probably the biggest problem.
Definitely.
We have a little teasing here and there. Most of it gets resolved, though. And we also, the peer counselors also help with that if we do conflict things. So if two people are having a problem, we kind of just talk them through it, help them out. But back on the subject of bullying, yeah, we had a really big problem with an app called the After School that a lot of schools had the problem with, and it's kind of like a board for anything you want to say about someone that's anonymous. So it's an anonymous post that can't be tracked back to you, and so people just kind of let loose on that, and it was a big deal. And
it was like war.
Yeah, it was really bad a week, and then suddenly it just disappeared, I guess. And now the only people that are on it are the people that
started being mean.
So I guess it's kind of their downfall.
So, yeah, that was horrible.
How do teachers and how do teachers handle discipline for bullying and other, you know, acts of violence or anything like that at Willits High School?
Honestly, I haven't seen any teachers take active bullying. All the classes I'm in, there's not much bullying because my classes are really small. But if any teacher would have any discipline, it's just take it to the principal or somebody higher than the teacher.
Well, I've seen it be brought to a principal, or I should say vice principal, because he is in charge of discipline. He doesn't do too much about it, because I remember when after school was happening, everyone went to him about it, because there were a lot of people, like, being hurt by it, because deep secrets were spilled, bad things about people were being said, and yeah, that was horrible. But it was all brought to the vice principal, and he didn't do too much about it.
Yeah, but also, it's hard to, you know, you can't manage the internet, like, so internet's pretty much fair game, but what they were trying to do was to let everyone to, like, just delete it off your phone. Because what they thought was, oh, if you delete it, they can't hurt you. But that was not true, because even if you don't have it on, I never had it on my phone, and I heard everything from everyone. I'd just be walking down the hall, and I'd hear something about it. Like, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing about it. It was just ridiculous. And on our teachers, I haven't really seen bullying in a classroom, so I've also never witnessed it at lunch. So
yeah, same.
I don't know what they would do, but I've had teachers come up to me and be like, "Hey, watch out for this kid. Like, make sure he's not getting bullied." And I take that as my job to make sure he's not getting bullied. And so that's how some of them deal with it.
If you were, like, a teacher or a principal, how bad do you think, like, the disciplinary action should be for bullies or cyberbullies or anything like that?
I think that's...
Hard question.
Yeah, but also a really easy one because, like, I don't... bullying can be anything. So it has to have like some sort of scale of severity.
Everybody's definition of bullying is definitely different.
Yeah, of course. Like, someone can say something verbal and be like, oh, that's not hurting anyone physically, I'm not going to do anything about it. But that can hurt way more than a physical pain. So it's like, it's really hard to discipline that. Like, I don't know how they would do it, but I don't know. Doesn't seem to be too big of a problem, but there's probably issues that I'm unaware of that either haven't been handled or need to be, so I'm not sure. What about you guys?
Where would you draw the line between, like, teasing and actual bullying?
To the point where somebody doesn't show up to school, doesn't do their work, is really down all the time, and starts excluding themselves from friends or even family members.
I know what I've seen a lot is, like, someone will say something to me or a friend, and then they'll just feel like, oh, well, I was just kidding. I'm just saying that because we're friends type thing. But it still hurts. But you just kind of brush it off. It's like, oh, well, they're my friend, you know, quote, quote, so yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. I personally don't let any type of verbal harassment get to me. As long as it's me. As long as it's directed at me, I don't care. But if it's directed at someone who is unable to protect themselves in that mind state, or one of my friends who is really being affected by it, then I'll say something about it. But it's never really been that bad, honestly.
Yeah, same. If, like, you don't let it get to you, like, yeah, people will call you names. Some people take offense to it, but if you, like, learn not to care or anything, you don't really let it get to you. Kind of helps.
Yeah, and I think peer counseling helped me a lot with that, because it taught me that almost everyone has a secret battle that no one knows about. And so what I take it is, the reason he's saying bad things about me is because there's probably something 10 times worse with that person. So I rather me take it and not care too much than him. I want him to feel good about himself for at least a couple minutes. That's okay with me. I'll allow it.
As long as you say something that makes somebody feel good and boosts up their confidence, at least for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It really is. Really, it has a good feeling on you.
Yeah, exactly. And for preparing for the summit, I don't know, through peer counseling, not just for the summit, I've learned how to talk to an audience of teenagers, which is a lot different than I imagined. I thought, oh, they're my friends, they'll listen. That's not true.
No.
They do not do that. So I've kind of learned to be disciplined with them, but not at the same time, and still be like, oh, he's my friend, I hang out with him, but if he talks, I'm gonna have a problem. Like, I don't, it's interesting. It's,
yeah,
fun.
We've definitely learned a lot of communication skills on how to, not only big groups of people, but one-on-one, because that can be difficult too, because, like, they might have a situation that you don't understand, but the way we've learned our communication is to help be in their shoes, like, put ourselves in their situation. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. What about you, Vivi?
You guys pretty much covered it. But yeah, learning to talk with anybody, really, whether it's freshmen or incoming freshmen or even juniors or seniors, you really learned how to be able to communicate with another person. Whether they call themselves known or unknown, or everybody has a problem. So you are learned, and it's really helpful for them to know that you can understand what their problem is.
Yeah, and I feel like after the summit, we'll have more knowledge than almost anything we do in peer counseling. After it's done, I feel like I've learned so much about just people and just communications and almost anything that has to do with being a human, I guess. And it's a really great thing to learn all that. And helping children that are younger than me, because it's really different talking to kids like Blosser, which is our, what is that, a elementary school?
Yes.
Yeah, our elementary school. We go and mentor them every Thursday, and we have our kids that we mentor, and they're all great group of kids, and I guess they're something else. They teach you something every day, and we've only done it twice, and I feel like I've learned so much already.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of boost your energy and give you a little bit of life because they're so energetic and they just full of life, running so much. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was taught by a 10-year-old how to play poker, so that was interesting.
I found out that 5th graders or 3rd graders were better sports players than I am.
That's a little sad.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a super awesome experience. You just learn so much all the time.
So what do you think are some of the issues that young men and young women face in Willits today?
Image, body image, facial image. I mean, there's some 8th graders out there that pack themselves with makeup just to make them feel better. I think those are one of the biggest issues.
Yeah. And you see it a lot in, like, bigger schools. It's almost like a competition to see who can, you know, look the best, wear the most makeup, get the most boys type thing.
Yes, yeah, there are so many girls in the 8th grade that wear, like, twice as much makeup as I do, and I'm a sophomore. It's really sad to me, honestly. I don't really like it. It's like, be young.
Yeah.
Be young. You don't have crazy hormones to give you pimples, but if you keep on, like, I guess wearing makeup, it's going to, like, fill up your skin and make you age a little bit faster. And then it's going to lead to other disorders for you, for yourself, such as, like, self-image. It's just going to get worse.
Yeah. Phil, big problem seems to be marijuana. That seems to be it's like a big issue, and then it's
issue.
Also not at the same time, just because, I mean, the place that we live, we're kind of used to it, but at the same time, it, like, sucks seeing your friend come to class stoned and, like, not being able to comprehend anything that's happening in class.
Do the teachers even notice, like, when...
No.
Or is it just so common that...
I don't know. I bet some of them do, and maybe just don't want to give that person a hard time, or maybe they really just don't understand or don't know, but I can't see how that's possible.
Well, I think they notice, they just don't care, because then they basically give up on that student, like, oh, he's either going to do his work or they're not. But, yeah, I think they notice, they just brush it off.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a really big problem.
Do you think there's a connection between marijuana use and like failing grades, or like links to more drugs and stuff like that?
Failing grades, yeah, links to more drugs. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say so, but it depends. Like, if you're with a group of people that like to experiment with drugs, you're gonna get into other drugs. But if you're with a group of quiet stoners who like to sit on the couch and that's it, you probably won't go outside and experience anything else.
It also depends on the person. Like, with the grades, it just depends on how motivated you are. Because I know a couple people, honestly, that smoke a lot, but their grades are pretty good. Like, they've got B's, C's, A's. They're not failing. And also, like, with the other drugs, that also depends on, like, how strong you are within your person and your personality. Like, if you let yourself to be peer pressured into other drugs, then you'll do other drugs. That's all basically your choice. Yeah. Like, it's not marijuana saying, hey, go do heroin. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah.
It's not only, like, teachers or friendships. Like, it is friendships. Like, that's definitely it. But not only grades and stuff, but you can lose a lot of friends and your grades most likely will drop from what it will impact on you. I know definitely I have, and many people have, lost their friends or just other relationships because of marijuana and other drug substances, and it's really bad.
Yeah, we had a senior project done where a girl brought in a whole bunch of guest speakers on, from tattoos to drug use and dental hygiene and just all sorts of stuff. And I actually went to the person that was doing the marijuana presentation, and what he said was really interesting. But I knew a lot of it, but I could see some of the kids being like, oh, that actually makes sense. And he was explaining how when you're at our age, teenage-wise, our brain is not done developing. And so if you're smoking weed to go to sleep at night because you think you need it, you're wiring yourself to have to smoke weed or else you're not going to sleep. And then what happens when your brain is done developing and you want to go to sleep? You can't unless you smoke weed. And that forms an addiction, and then it's just all bad. So
why do you think that, even though like kids know this information and stuff, why do you think they still smoke it? Is it just because it's like the norm thing for Mendocino County, or?
That could play a role in it. A lot of families are
growers.
It's just
a family thing.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle, I guess, around here. But there are a lot of people that know the dangers and don't do it. And then there are a lot of people that know the dangers and do it. So I can't really speak for them, but I'm not sure, honestly.
Okay, so we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about the Peer Summit program or about the passage of teenagers into young adults.
What are the challenges you see for youth in our society? How is growing up different for girls and boys?
What do you remember about moving from middle school to high school? What happened or what shaped your outlook on life at that time?
Do you think that growing up is more difficult now than when you were in school? In what ways? What advice would you give to youth entering high school?
We would like to hear your opinions on all the topics we've discussed. Do you think that programs like Peer Summit should be encouraged? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on the transition from middle school to high school. We'd really like to hear from you.
Caller, you're on air. Nope, sorry. Never mind, you're not. I lied.
Psych.
So, what do you think are some of the differences, Emily, between our school and your school, or maybe some of the rumors that you've heard about ours and yours? And
so,
I'm just curious.
One big thing that I hear about Willits High is about all the parties that happen there, and like I hear about all the drug use and parties and drinking and marijuana and like even up to like narcotics and more intense drugs, and like, I've never gone there, nor do I know a lot of people who go there, so I can't really say, like, whether it's true or not. What do you think?
It's kind of funny, because, like, we hear that, and then we have the same rumors about Laytonville and, like, all that, and so, I don't know. But,
We definitely have parties.
Yeah, there's parties, but like, I wouldn't say that they're
not too many
crazy
drugs.
Yeah.
I don't see too many bad, harsh drugs. It's just weed, really. There is a lot of alcohol, but I don't know. Yeah. Our parties are definitely, yeah, it's definitely a party town. There's nothing else to do, I feel.
Yeah.
There are just a lot of people like to go out and party on the weekends.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard living in a very small town where your options are kind of limited. So, I mean, like, I thankfully skateboard, so I have something to do almost at all times. And so it's interesting.
Okay, callers. There are only 10 minutes to call at 456-9991.
Caller, you're on air.
Hey, I've got kids that graduated from both Willits High and Laytonville High, and I've got a son-in-law who's just donated a greenhouse to the Mendocino High School for developing a culinary gardening project.
Oh, wow.
And I would like to find out if the community garden's still going on at the high school up in Laytonville, because my daughters, many years ago, I helped to work to get the elementary school gardening project going maybe 20, 30 years ago. And I'm really glad because that's practical. You know, we all need to eat. And I'd like to see, I'm going to plant a seed in your mind's eye that I think children should get paid when they graduate from school. I have a MACU, Mothers and Children's Union, where if you got $50 a day by virtue of attending school, if you got $250 a week, $1,000 a month, 10 months of school, you'd have $1,000, what, $5,000, anyway, when you graduated from high school, if you had a bank account that had $10,000 in it so that you could pay first and last month's rent, tuition, pay for a car, you know, why is it that only the children of the doctors and the lawyers and the principals and the teachers, kids get to go to the university? I think every child is working when you go to school. And, you know, it needs to have happen. You know, we've got all these debts that are, you know, the economy's folding. I'd like to, we had home economics and auto mechanics and, you know, wood shop. You know, there were practical hands-on jobs and not just, you know, it's good to have algebra, it's good to have geometry, it's good to have languages. You guys haven't gotten into the academics, you know, that much with a you know, where your conversation's going today. One of the first I'm thinking to while you're talking about pot and alcohol, one of the first deaths, funerals that I ever went to was a young kid, Johnny Bailey, in Oakland. And he was 16, and he had alcohol poisoning. He was a little Portuguese guy, about 125 pounds, and he died from alcohol. So, you know, it's like there's a lot of issues that you're talking about. I'm glad you have a conversation and are opening up the, you know, radio. Do you guys have a radio program at the high school? If not, why not? Because you've got, you know, a lot of people up there who are learned, you know, and I think it's wonderful that you have this program to communicate and outreach and raise issues. But I'd like to get the garden thing. I'm going to get off the phone and let you guys take the information and play with it. But I think that everybody should be able to go to school if you want to, if you can get, you know, B's and C's. Go to school, you know, I mean, whatever education you can. We need jobs. We need part-time jobs so that you can, you know, work at home and work outside. You know, we need better paying. There's the economy, you know, where are we at with employment and unemployment? I'm going to let you go, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on air.
Hi, I was just thought I'd call in and ask how you all feel you're being prepared for life after high school, by your high school. I'll take my the answers on the air. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. I think we're being pretty prepared. I have a pretty good dad who's been helping me.
That was really smooth.
Been helping me through, and just helping me understand what the path I need to take. And so I think I'm being pretty prepared. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone else. What do you guys think?
Well, getting back to what the first caller was saying about college and having money for it, that's like a really big issue for, especially in my school, where we have a lot of really low-income families, and I know a lot of kids that I know don't even want to try very hard in school because they're like, well, we don't have enough money to go to college anyways, so why would we put ourselves through all that homework and all that work just to go nowhere?
Yeah, that her plan is awesome.
Yeah.
If that could actually happen, it would change everything.
Yeah, and I feel like some students honestly work harder than the teachers, and yet they're getting paid.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I'm pretty sure it's Sweden actually does pay their kids to go to school. Which, really, I mean, awesome. In my eyes, I think it's smart.
Yeah. Why not? What, like,
they were there for the first, I don't know how many, we're there 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, till we're 18.
Yeah, maybe if we got paid to go on to higher education,
we might actually enjoy going to school.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, smart people. We need smart people, like, in the world.
With motivation.
Yeah, in general, so.
And we're not being taught very much, honestly, like, to be paid more than minimum wage. Like, also with, like, the home things, just, like, common sense kind of stuff that we need to be taught. Like, how to fix your car, or cooking, or cleaning, or something. Like, normal stuff that you learn,
yeah,
like, that you need.
At Laneyville, we've dropped our home ec class. We've dropped a lot of our classes that at one point were, like, mandatory. Like, everyone took home ec, everyone took auto shop, everyone took wood shop, because they're just things that you used in life. And now they're just unmandatory, or we don't have them at all. Like, we have very limited electives and very limited, even, like, college prep class, not, what's it called?
AP?
AP classes, yeah.
Yeah.
We have very limited.
You guys don't
limited.
Have a lot?
We have AP English and AP Environmental Science.
That's it?
I'm pretty sure. I think,
actually, no, yeah. I think we have one more than you. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not that.
Going high on the hog.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, it's kind of hard to. Yeah, I don't think we're being too prepared on life, really.
Like, yeah,
I think we just need one big life class that we take from freshman year to senior year that just teaches us everything we need to know, and then we'll be good.
Like, yeah.
They can send us on our way, and we'll know how to survive.
I don't think they want us to know how to live.
Yeah.
Because of all the rules changing, like, we don't get our baby steps anymore. Because, like, not to bring this up or anything, but, like, the off-campus and everything, that's our baby step to college.
To responsibility.
To be responsible of being on our own. And, like, having our off-campus basically was saying, hey, I trust you enough to walk or drive to go get food and be back to school on time. But we don't have that, so I don't think they really want us to be prepared for life.
Yeah.
Not
just gotta learn it by ourselves.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Not it's speaking just for everyone, but myself.
Exactly.
Okay, that's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Emily Davis.
Me, Viviana Cardona.
Marina Acosta.
Garrett Vincent.
Laneyville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out, our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laneyville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laneyville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jama at jamashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 5 weeks, that is June 7th, at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in June.